heart beats faster and faster.
Insane, they should do it for the right reasons. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday night once again, your buddies, the Ghost Men and Demon Hunter show.
That's right, paranormal broadcasting. We're quick, we're funny. In fact, if Jack Black and Robin Williams got together and did a paranormal show, well, theirs would be funnier than ours. But we're here for you tonight.
Wow, man, you took that was like a week you were working on that one. Hey gang, we are live in studios, that's a fact, in the G&D chat room all night long is where we'll be.
You can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostandademon.com.
And this is your ghost man, Sean B.
And that would mean fill in any time. That would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And who else do we got, Jason?
We got that guy over there in the corner.
Hi.
Stop touching that. It'll fall off.
Here goes our ratings. Okay, guys. This is the Sunday, September 13th broadcast of this little show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schooner and Sean Burson. It's broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, Absurd Radio, Planet Paranormal, and it's recorded for Planet Paranormal, the Black Vault Radio Network, Absurd. And the Para-X Radio Network.
Mm. Okay, guys, tonight's guest, here we go. Once again, we head back to the dark, haunted streets of New Orleans.
Nolans.
Okay. We head back to the dark haunted. Let me start from the beginning. We head back out to the dark haunted streets of Nolans and talk to Shane Norris, voodoo priest. We're going to get the scoop on that stuff once and for all tonight, live and only on your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Yeah, is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
You heathens and hooligans, come on, get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I could use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this, I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, come on, get the hell out of here. Yeah, you heathens and hooligans.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh my god, welcome back everybody, welcome back listeners from around the world. Thanks for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
You're always so positive, Sean. It's nice that you're positive.
I gotta get that out there. Huh?
It's nice that you're positive.
I know. So who's in the house tonight? We gotta get a nickname for Gowan. Besides the one I use, because that's profanity and we can't use that on the air.
That's
also
right.
It's also something you will use only behind closed doors.
Are you still wearing that dog collar I bought you? Uh-huh.
Some of the spikes? Yeah, I got it on right now.
It's a sex thing. Actually, us three guys, we were on, if you guys watch on HBO, I want to say this real quick. We're going to be on an episode of Real Sex. That's what that's what I try for. You know what I mean? That's my goal in life.
The
moral of that episode will be, this is what happens if you suck so bad that you shouldn't have sex.
No. I was watching this episode, though, guys, last week, and they did this festival in New Orleans, and it was like Leathers and Whip Festival. And they had this guy tied to this telephone pole, and he had a gimp mask on and all the leather, and the guy was smacking him with a little motorcycle, outfit on. And I thought of you, Gal, and I thought of you.
That's not...
Does this make the blooper reel for 09?
I'm not sure that's a good thing.
That image brought you straight to me.
It did. I just want to spank you with a fly swatter or whatever it was, leather something, leather fly swatter.
Okay.
That hurt.
Mm-hmm. What's going on, guys? Hey, Jay, Nathan, you had a big day today, man. Tell us all about it.
No, I didn't have a big day. I just went down to the New York Renaissance Festival and saw some old friends that I haven't seen in years from when I used to work down there.
Did I ask you this, did you dress up at all?
I did dress up in Renaissance clothing. I did not wear tights.
Oh, come on, man. Give me something to work with.
Sorry. I saw the jokes coming beforehand. I just thought I'd throw that right off the bat. That I wore regular pants.
Did you do a creditreport.com commercial while you were out at there?
Well, creditreport.com won't even accept me anymore. I ruined my credit with them, so...
That's all right. I never check it anyway. But anyhow, man, you got to go out there and you had the... Nathan was telling me, guys, before the show, what'd you eat today, Nathan? You had the big...
The turkey leg. The giant turkey leg, yeah.
Are those good?
They are very good. Very, very poultry-ish. Yes, they're very yummy. Yeah.
Very barbaric. I like to think I'm a Viking rape and pillaging villages when I'm eating it. You know,
you just like to think of yourself raping and pillaging when you do anything, Sean.
I know. I let the grease run down my...
Well, I'm raping anyway.
I let the grease run down my beard and all over my face, man. I get barbaric at, like, the Covered Bridge Festival here in Indiana. Any kind of festival. Even the Strawberry Festival I went to, I just got barbaric. Medieval on people, man.
Really?
Sean sits down at a quart of strawberries and growls at the guy when he tries to collect the money.
I love strawberries. But anyway, guys, I got to tell you today, Gowan, do you want to tell us what you did with your weekend? Probably nothing productive, but if you want to do it, go ahead.
No, I didn't do a damn thing this weekend.
But you had a very important day in your life this week.
I had my birthday, which is... week now officially is over.
Yay!
Jason is older now.
Did you go to that special
That's right,
bar?
Ladies. Jason is now legal. Yeah. They're running out after him.
Yeah. Mentally.
I'm the baby of this. I'm the baby of our show, and I always forget that.
I know. Mm-hmm. That was it. But anyway, guys, today I was
Nathan's
sitting here.
The wise older brother, and Sean's the middle child that no one really likes.
I'm Bobby in the Brady Bunch. Nobody really likes
you. You are. He was the youngest. You're Peter.
Oh, yeah, Peter.
So Jason is Bobby, so we're just keeping him around till we get a new cousin Oliver. Is that what's going on?
Yep. And then I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to our good buddy Tim Yancey tonight and Jason Gowan. Of course, they are on the Encounters Paranormal Radio Show. Great show, guys, on right before us. I recommend everybody around the world check it out. But I was listening to Tim, and he started talking about people who – I don't want to mention any names now or anything like that, but people who I guess they kind of get off challenging other people, you know, calling them frauds, fakes, whatever, and that's their thing, and that's cool. I like that. But, you know, I also said another thing. I said a couple things, actually, in the chat room about that. I mean, I think people need to lighten up a lot. I think there is a lot of people on TV. I just wanted to address this real quick, guys, by the way. And don't let me sound goofy, please. So step in.
Oh, well, we lost that.
It's too late, Sean. You're already sounding goofy, but...
But you know what, guys? I mean, I got that, too. Like, with the shows not to be mentioned, but we know there's many shows on the television right now that tell you, you know, this is how they do their thing, this is how they ghost hunt, this is what they do, and I'm not so sure that we should be taking these cats for what's going on. We shouldn't be trying to write textbooks off of what they do. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, by the time it gets to television, it's for entertainment purposes, and that's what we got to remember. You know, when they go out and investigate, they could very well be investigating when you, Jason, and I went out investigating for television, we investigated wholeheartedly, you know, but people aren't going to see the hours and hours and hours of our investigation. So no, it's kind of like getting the cliff notes of ghost hunting.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. That's how I did through school anyway. I always went to the front or the back cover, and I read what the book was about, and that's how I passed most of my tests. That's how I got through midterms, man.
Ah, see, you should have taken a lesson from me and gotten books on tape. Yes, books on tape got me through high school.
That's the way to do it. But anyway, I got to, you know, there's people out there that make their living off of shredding, you know, other people and stuff. And I say, hey, man, can we all just get along? You know, we got to, this big planet, man, big rock. We all got room for each other. But anyway, I wanted to move on to another topic, guys. Today I was
we don't get to respond to that one, Jason. I mean, we get to move on.
Had enough of your tree-hugging hippie crap.
Yeah, Sean, nobody gets along because the fact of the matter is, by the time somebody gets a TV show or a radio show or writes a blog and it becomes popular, somebody else decides that the easiest and fastest way for them to get a little bit of popularity is to critique these people.
Well, I just want to tell everybody out there right now that likes to shred people, you can catch me personally. Anytime you want, you can email me, you can send whatever you want to send, because I love all the negative input. It just pushes me to do more. So let me hear you guys.
Hey, Sean, our first month out there, somebody was kind enough to send us a picture of them cutting our heads off.
You know what? I actually photocopied that
picture. Forgot about that.
And it's framed, hanging in the studio. I love that. It gives me motivation. I love it, man. I love it.
And it's only gonna get better and worse, because everybody, the announcement is out. Come October 19th, Sean, Jason, and myself, Extreme Paranormal on A&E.
So, there you go. Whee!
The announcement is out. You can set your TiVo right now. Well, wait till we actually get the time that's gonna air. But
guys, gonna do a premiere party at all in your town?
We'll probably have some people over to have some chips and watch it, you know?
Yeah.
A buddy of mine, he owns a bar here in town, and he's thinking about closing it down for the night and doing a private like premiere party.
Jason Gowan in a bar. What do you...
Well, how cool is that? Can I get into that bar, or do I need to be a cross-dresser before I get in, or what?
No, he's removing the dress code for that one night.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Anyway, guys, that's exciting news that just came out this week, guys. You heard it here first on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, Extreme Paranormal, 19th and 26th of October. We hope America loves us because we love you guys. So it was good stuff. But today, guys, I was watching the Discovery Channel. I was flipping through the channels. And, of course, shout out to Jerry and shout out to my Indianapolis Colts, because they beat Jacksonville Jaguars today. They didn't smoke them by any means, but they did. It's one win under their wings. So there we go. For me, football officially kicked off today. So it's a proud day. I'm very excited. But I was watching the Discovery Channel today too, man. And they started talking about apes. Now, I don't know if you guys caught this documentary. It wasn't like Gorillas in the Mist, that movie, or anything like this. But apes scare me. I decided that today.
I guess you and I are broken up then.
I think so. Well, this one monkey, this ape, was on TV, and I swear to God, he was staring at me today. And I'm just thinking that these creatures, one day these creatures are going to take over the planet, man. Planet of the Apes is going to come true.
I just have this image of Sean tied down, apes all around him. Get your damn hands off of me, you dirty ape.
Get your dirty, filthy hands off me. Actually, that's what I said to Gowan. But, you know, he...
Pretty much every day.
Yeah, and I seen that. They had the gorillas on, so that scared me to death. And then we got to see the jumping sharks or whatever when they jump up to kill the seals out at Seal Island.
So you just don't swim with the seals, that's all.
Yeah, you don't swim. That's a bad idea, to swim with a seal. That's terrible. But actually, humans do look like surfboards. From down below.
What? Humans look like surfboards?
Or look like seals. When they're on the surfboard, they look like seals. So the sharks attack. But they were talking about great white sharks have been coming in to our beaches, like in Florida and stuff, where great white sharks weren't supposed to come in that close. They've been spotted out there now.
Well,
that actually happened last March when I was in Florida. We couldn't use the beaches in West Palm Beach for like 2 weeks because the sharks were coming, they kept seeing great whites.
Wow. And that's in West Palm Beach.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's amazing because you never got that. I mean, you got tiger sharks, bull sharks, but of course we're talking Jaws here, guys. We're talking great white sharks here in America, which is unheard of.
Well, they must be getting hungry. We must be depleting the rest of their food sources there, Sean.
Hey, did you guys see the previews for that new show coming out? Is it Zombieland or something like that?
I did see that. I actually, somebody sent me the link to it, and I gotta admit, I'm gonna go see it.
It looks really good, Nate.
It does. It does.
It's Kevin Smith movie, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, then I definitely have to go see it.
I think it is.
Because he's been promoting it on his Twitter a lot.
Yeah.
On his Twitter. You're a Twitterer. I forget that.
Yeah, we need to get Sean on Twitter so that we can put...
He's on there, but he just doesn't use it.
I'm on Twitter. It's just my life's boring. What am I going to Twitter?
Well,
I'm driving to work.
Send me your Twitter link, Sean, and I'll add it to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter webpage so people can find you.
Oh, I'm not up there, huh?
No, well, you haven't sent me your link yet. I emailed you and asked for it.
You're a damn dirty ape. Okay,
let's get some news.
Yeah, I was looking through the magazine and stuff today, of course, the Sun magazine. That's Paranormal News, as it happens. They bring it out every month, guys. You should get a copy.
But best reporting in the nation.
Yeah, I've seen a commercial in the magazine. I wanted to bring it up. It says, as seen on TV. They've actually advertised this on TV. It's these immortality rings. It says, the amazing immortality rings allow you to stay physically young forever or can reverse the aging process, allowing you to look younger and younger each day. This product is highly recommended by Kevin Trudeau, the author of Natural Cures, Things They Don't Want You to Know About. And guys, it is like a headset with magnets on both sides, and they got this Japanese cat, and it shows like an old picture and then a young picture, and they're actually selling these guys for just $45 plus shipping and handling.
For $45, you can be young forever.
It's called, you can go to healthmagnets.org. That's where this at. It reverses the aging process, guys. And they actually gave their email and telephone number. So get your pens ready. It's healthmagnets.org. And then the telephone number is 650-219-2508. That's 650-219-2508 out of San Francisco, California.
Now, the Ghost Band and Demon Hunter show does not endorse the Forever Young Immortality Magnet System. If you try it, it is on your own dime and your own... You're taking your own chance.
Buy one
people.
Right now.
I thought it was cool, though, man.
It's not our fault. Not our fault.
Not our fault. It sucks. But anyway, we got some serious news, guys. Came out of... the UK again. It says UFOs, get ready for the beep button because I might not pronounce this right, Nathan. UFOs drop into Phuket. That's the name of the town.
Close enough.
Phuket. Okay, Phuket. A family in Phuket had a close encounter with unidentified falling objects on the weekend when about 100 small spheres dropped from the sky onto their roof and garden. The family of six said the transparent balls fell on their home in Whitchit about 9 a.m. on a Sunday directly after a rain shower. After the rain had stopped, we heard the sound of things falling on the roof, said homeowner 52-year-old Panawaski Banasui. Drink up, guys. Her son then went outside and discovered more than 100 small transparent balls on the ground. The spheres each measure about 1 centimeter in diameter and are soft and pliable. They have no coloring and do not give off any odor, except the butt smell that they have with them. Officials from the Phuket Medical Sciences Center later collected some of the spheres for further examination, leaving the rest with Mrs. Panawaski, who said she would keep them for good luck. A spokesperson from the center told the Gazette that the collected spheres had been sent by plane to the Department of Medical Sciences in Bangkok. The findings will be announced as soon as possible, said the officer. The appearances of the balls has stirred much excitement among villagers, who was tempted to chew on the balls. Gowan. Chew on the balls. before being reprimanded by Mrs. Promowski or whatever and told to wait for the results of the Science Center's findings. So there you go, guys. I got a picture of these. I was going to try to put it up on the chat room. These look like little crystal balls. They're holding them. It's really cool. They fell from the sky. It looks like the little marbles you put at the bottom of a fish aquarium.
Now, be honest, Sean.
Yeah.
Were you just searching for pictures of people holding their balls?
Yeah, I Googled balls, so that's what came up. Because we give our listeners the best every week. Every week,
I would love to go and see what Sean's Google most searched terms are. I would love to do that.
Hey, did you guys hear that sad story, though? I know it's been up everywhere. Ghost hunter killed in fall from building.
I did hear about that.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was out in Toronto. It says a first date with a playful late-night search for ghost inside a University of Toronto landmark ended in tragedy yesterday when a 29-year-old woman plunged to her death. Leah Kubik, just 2 weeks shy of her 30th birthday, was found without vital signs inside a courtyard just before 2 a.m. They were believed to be exploring an old building because of it was rumored to be haunted. Toronto police said Wendy Drummond told from the Toronto police, Wendy Coleman told The Sun the Gothic-style 134-year-old Cognate Medical Research Building was the site of a grisly murder in 2001. But paranormal experts stress it's not haunted, only rumored to be cursed. Yeah, but apparently they were up there and she either fell or was pushed to her death. Now that brings up a good conversation, guys. If we are out at a haunted location, what happens if activity does pick up? Now I know all three of us have been to places where activities went nuts, but wonder if the ghost might have pushed her. Huh?
Well.
Oh.
Jason, you've been pushed by a ghost. What do you think?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, I've seen it. I know of other people who've had it happen. So, I mean, it's definitely a possibility.
Because you know when the coroner gets there, they're going to say it's accidental.
Yeah, of course, because that's the sense.
It is kind of accidental. I mean, I'm sure they didn't plan to be pushed by a ghost.
I don't think so. Anyway.
There's a possibility of dangers in ghost hunting. You know,
that's true.
At your own risk.
Hey, Gowie, Nate, let's skip off that because that's a downer. But anyway, our thoughts and prayers go out with that ghost hunting team and the family, guys. That's a very bad thing. That's why you should never go alone, guys. You should always have a group of people with you. The more, the merrier, is what I always say. But anyway, okay, Jason. Nathan, I found this picture. I was searching stuff. This just happened, I think, about 3 weeks ago. It was a guy set up a camera. Here, I'll just read the story. How about that?
Okay, you do that.
Okay.
Backyard Bigfoot gorilla-like creature photographed in Kentucky Garden, guys. All right? The large hairy beast.
Where were people staying at the time?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It's wearing a leather hat, though, so... kind of blurry. I can't see. It says the large hairy beast can be seen in a blurry picture taken on an automatic camera set up by an amateur hunter. While flicking through images of rabbits and deer, Kenny Mahoney noticed a dark humanoid creature that does not like any of the southern U.S. states, that is not like any animals in the northern southern U.S. states known native species. The mysterious animal's head appears too small for it to be a bear, leaving Mr. Mahoney wondering whether he had accidentally captured one of the clearest ever photos of Bigfoot, which, guys, this looks like a gorilla. You got to see this picture. It looks like a gorilla eating the flowers. It looked like it had an outline of a head and, like, gorilla-type shoulders, and then the arms crossed is what it looks like to me, he told the local news station at Wave TV. One of the explanations my brother-in-law said, it may be a garbage bag blowed up in there, but all the smashed over vegetation in there, I really don't know. I have no idea what it is. Mr. Mahoney of Jefferson County said he is very doubtful that the creature in the photo is Bigfoot. His wife, Marguerite, has sent the image to a wildlife expert in the hope of getting it identified. The mythical ape-like creature Bigfoot is most regularly sighted in the forest in the northwestern states and provinces of North America, although last month a teenage girl in Poland reported seeing a similar beast. Last year, of course, the two men in the United States, Georgia, state of Georgia came out with the rubber monkey suit, so the critics are really shredding this up, guys. But you got to go check it out. Just Google Backyard Bigfoot Kentucky, and you will see this picture, guys. I mean, it will come up. It looks like... It does. It looks like a gorilla with these arms out, like he's grabbing the flowers or something.
Now, you weren't in Kentucky that week, right, Sean?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't there. I should have been. I love Kentucky, man. It's like, what, 40 hour and 45 minutes from me across the bridge. So I love Louisville.
Well,
so it could be.
It could be you. Yeah.
Could have been. I could have got smashed that night and played with flowers or something.
Well, guys, why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we'll have our guest on tonight, Shane Norris, Voodoo Priest.
Okay, guys, stay tuned. We reach into the darkness up next. We check out voodoo, hoodoo, and all kinds of weird stuff, so stay tuned.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
The vault is open. You're listening to the Haunted Headlines, your source for the stories making waves in the paranormal news. Sponsored by GhostVillage.com at www.ghostvillage.com/news.
Good evening, I'm Chris Balzamer, and you're listening to the Haunted Headlines, Ghost Village's weekly journey around the paranormal newswire to bring you the biggest stories affecting the ghost community. The ghosts are out again at Croxton Park in Liverpool, England. In a report from the Liverpool Echo, a security camera at the Edwardine Country House has caught a spirit for the second time this year. This ghost, which appears much like a person whose head is bald and reflecting the light, moves across the screen for more than 30 seconds. It closely resembles an orb with a cloak attached to it and appears transparent. According to the article, quote, "One theory among mediums is that the figure may be the ghost of former resident Hugh William Osbert Monix, the seventh and last Earl of Sefton, who died in 1972. You may remember we covered a sighting in the same location last March. Stop by the Ghost Village news site to get a link to both sets of footage, and you can see for yourself. Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen may have left their X-Men personas behind, but they are still performing together, this time in the stage classic Waiting for Godot at the Theatre Royal Haymarket in London. Stewart got more than he bargained for when he signed on. He may be a veteran of the English stage, but the actor has seen his first ghost in a theatre. According to the Telegraph, the actor is said to have witnessed a man in a beige coat and twill trousers just off the stage as he was coming off. The ghost is thought to be John Baldwin Buckstone, who was the actor/manager of the Theatre Royal Haymarket in the mid-19th century and a good friend of Charles Dickens. While he did not skip a beat during the production, Stewart later said he was, quote, impressed by the oft-seen spirit. Nigel Everett, one of the directors of the theatre, said Buckstone, or whoever may be watching the plays from the afterlife, usually views comedies when they are performed. Lastly tonight, it may not have been a real ghost, but one spirit in India caused more suffering than any we've ever reported. In Bayrampur, five young men scaled the wall of the Ithar Senthil High School hostel, which separates the male and female quarters. The area was in the middle of a power outage, and the boys went door to door scaring everyone they saw. Thinking they had seen a real ghost, and one that had been reported in the dorms before, the girls suffered a disproportionate response. Quoting a source from the Times of India, one girl, Pratima Bask, whose age was not revealed, fell unconscious and was rushed to a local hospital. She was declared dead on arrival. Five other girls were hospitalized. Authorities are still trying to sort out the details before any other action can be taken. That's the news for this week. Make sure to sign on to Ghost Village's news site to check out these and other stories at www.ghostvillage.com/news. I'm Chris Balzano, and that's what's haunting me.
Halloween is coming fast, and so is the 2009 Phantom Con in Hickory, North Carolina, October 16th through the 18th. Phantom Con will be the only host of the 2009 Haunted Survivors Tour. Guests include Shannon Sylvia of Ghost Hunters International, Jeff Sylvia of Up for Discussion, Jan Pierce, Stephen LaChance, and Denise Jones of the Haunted Survivors Tour. Psychic medium to the stars, Lizzie Starr. Author and psychic, Katie Boyd. And psychic investigator, Jackie Carpenter. Also, Jason Gowan and Nathan Schoonover of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Tickets start at $20 for one day and $35 for the two-day event, October 16th and 17th. There will also be an evening ghost hunt and a special Sunday event, October 18th, both with limited seating. Discover more about the paranormal and the 2009 Phantom Con at www.phantomcon.com.
This is Bishop James Long with the United States Old Catholic Church, and you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Make sure you tune in every single week, because the bishop said so. All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here.
I see you did the commercial without me, Nathan.
I kept trying to call you and tell you I was doing it, and nobody answered.
Guys, Sean Burris is actually part of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
But
I
Sean,
would like to be out there at the festival in North Carolina or whatever. I just can't make it.
Yes.
Weren't even invited. Pretending.
Right. But Jason Gowan and Nathan will be there from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. So.
Well, actually, I kept calling Jason to say, "What do you want me to put down as Jason Gowan of?" Because Jason is involved with so many things. And another person didn't return my phone call, so, actually, originally...
I texted you back. It's not my fault your phone sucks.
It originally said Jason Gowan, of Encounters Paranormal Radio, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, this and that, the other thing. And when I got done listing all the things he's been involved with, the commercial was too long, so I had to cut that whole segment out, so...
Well, good for you guys. Good. I wish I could go. I do. I wish I could go, but it's not going to happen. So.
I think the main reason we're going is because Scarewinds is right down the road from there, and Jason wants to go.
I'm not going to lie. That was a big selling point for me.
Oh, was it? Well, good. So, guys, tonight's guest, he's live in studio. This cat is fresh, and he's awesome. Everybody, I would like to introduce Shane Norse, Voodoo Priest.
Hello. How y'all doing?
Howdy, Shane.
Shane, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Jason, heard from you in a while. Good to hear you.
I'm doing okay. My hemorrhoids are kind of flared up tonight.
I can't help you with that. Maybe we can do a spell for that, you know.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Some kind of potion or something.
can you make a potion for the aggravation Sean causes us all the time? Reduce that as well.
You can make a bend over candle, and that'd fit right in with the hemorrhoids too.
Sorry.
I wouldn't be surprised if there had been a lot more than candles chucked up there.
Hey! I'm gonna have to bleep something there.
We're not in Canada.
Hey, Shane. It was funny. I was getting ready to list you on our website. And wasn't sure how to list you, whether it should be down as Voodoo Priest or how you wanted it listed. So what would your title actually be?
In Haitian Creole, it would be Ogan. It's H-O-U-N-G-A-N. And the H is silent. And
that
just means male priest.
That's interesting, Shane, because we learned a lot of new Cajun Creole terms while we were down there, like gree-gree.
You guys, you know what I mean?
Oh man, we had a blast. Explain gree gree to everybody. I've been trying to do it. Maybe you could do it better.
Gree gree is basically a New Orleans term, and it's always it can mean several things. But if you're gonna do a gree gree for somebody, you're gonna make some sort of a fetish for them, and not the kind you're thinking of, Sean. But
like a foot fetish, huh? I'm with you.
I was going a little higher up, but but you know, for instance, if you made a gree gree or a doll for love or something, it would still be, it would be called Grigri or Poppet or Voodoo Doll or something like that. But those were mostly made as love spells. And another thing is, like, you got good Grigri has become the mean here in New Orleans and in our area, that you got good luck, good Grigri, or you got good mojo, you got good music, you know, you got good taste, you're a good artist, that sort of thing.
Now, when you know, I tried to explain to my mom one time that voodoo's not evil. Now, she was raised Irish Catholic, then went to Baptist, Southern Baptist. I tried to explain to her, voodoo's not evil. So for our listeners, Shane, could you explain voodoo and what it stands for? What's the word mean itself?
The word voodoo is actually spelled V-O-U-D-O-U, voodoo. It comes from the Fon language out of West Africa, and it literally means spirit. And voodoo is the veneration of your ancestors more than anything. You call on your ancestors to help you in your daily endeavors and to make you a success. And in voodoo, it's monotheistic, so there's just one god. And there's saints, like in Catholicism, you have saints, we call them Loa, and those are the angels that take your prayers to God and bring his actions back. And, in voodoo, you have free will, so God is everything, you know, in the idealistically. He's good and bad. He's Satan and Christ. He's positive and negative, so you can use any of it for good or bad. Hollywood's taken it to mean all bad, and if you believe what you see in Hollywood, that's not what the religion's about. But God will judge you later if you choose a negative path or a positive path. It's strictly free will.
Hey, Shane, what's the difference, brother, between, I meant to ask you this, what's the difference between voodoo and hoodoo?
Okay, voodoo's a religion. Mm-hmm. Probably 300 million people in the world practice some form of it. And technically you can trace it back to its roots in the oldest religion. And hoodoo is a term that's come to mean here in New Orleans and probably South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, two slave entry ports.
Yeah.
They take folk magic and their folk magic from West Africa and mix it in with, the idea and the culture of where it's at and make spells, and it's called hoodoo, which is just basically folk spells with your own flair in it, your own taste and your own culture.
Now, where does the zombies and the dark side of voodoo or hoodoo, when does that come into effect? Who practices that more, voodoo or hoodoo?
No, that is in voodoo. You have a priest, the one that practices only on the, as we say, the left hand. You know, everything is negative or fiery or real hot. He would be called a Bukor, B-O-K-O-R. And in the past, somebody did you wrong or you were doing a favor for somebody to, as a revenge, you would make a certain potion and make sure a person ingests it. They slow their body functions down so much that they think they're dead. They bury them, and they have to be dug up within 24 hours or they're so brain damaged that it's impossible to get anything out of them. What they do, they dig them up, but at that point they're so brain damaged they use them as slaves in the field, and that's where they shuffle along, maybe slobbering or drooling, and just make them go hoe the fields, feed them something, send them to bed, and then that's a zombie.
Wow, so zombies are real.
They don't eat brains, to my knowledge, but yes, they were. And Arthur C. Clarke did a study on it, and they didn't believe it was real, but they know all the ingredients in the potion and in the process of it. And they've actually found a few people like that in Haiti.
Now, I eat brains, man. I've been watching this thing on HBO. You know how they do that.
Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. You eat brains?
I've ate brains before. We went to some restaurant. It was some kind of brain. I don't know what it was. But it was okay. I tried a little bit of it.
Didn't do you any good, did it?
Oh, it did me a lot of good.
Animal Lecter would be proud of you.
See, he would. But Shane, I was watching this thing on... you know, up until the fight, they do like the Mayweather whatever fight coming up, and they do this thing on HBO and show you these guys in training. And this one guy said that he was into, I don't know if it was voodoo or hoodoo or what, but he was, anyway, I don't know. It was one of the two, but he drank his own urine. Is that a common practice? And do you drink your own urine?
I had to answer no to both of those.
Okay. I just wanted to know because it looked fun, you know?
So you can stop now, Sean. You can stop doing that.
Now, this went in a whole totally different direction than I thought. Now, who am I kidding? I knew what was going here from the beginning.
I'm serious. The guy peed in the cup. Too, he drank it. He said it was vitamins and minerals he put back into his body. But, you know.
Sure. You slap one of those little umbrellas in it. It looks delicious.
Right.
Like in the dessert.
I know the shelf value.
The term fetish way too far, Sean.
It might be. But I know that with mine, at least, the store value, it'd be like 120 proof. You know what I mean? So it'd be good.
I've never tasted yours. I really don't.
I'll send you a bottle tonight, Shane.
Okay. Wow. Oh, wow.
You guys are dirty.
Nathan?
I did.
Tell me about this.
I had no idea, Shane. No idea.
Okay. Hello?
No, we're still here. That's Sean crashing the whole show. But
I thought he was getting a sample of his fetish there.
I bet there's no other paranormal show that talks about drinking your own urine.
Now,
I guarantee that.
First of all, Sean, that is called urine therapy. Some people do that for their health. I don't think it has anything to do with voodoo.
No, all right. I didn't know.
In the South, as a redneck, I'd say that's urine therapy, not mine.
Now, I remember Nate. Nate came over to the house. He made a long drive one time. We was going on an investigation, and we stayed up all night watching The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Uh-huh. Well, Wade Davis?
Yeah. How much is that real with the powder they blow into your face? I mean, is that realistic, or was that all Hollywood?
That's Hollywood. But Wade did decent in that movie. He actually met him while he was doing some of the research for that movie down here in New Orleans, and he got, I mean, a lot of it's sensationalized, but a lot of it is factual historical.
No.
I go both ways on that movie.
You go both ways, huh?
Oh, Sean, behave yourself. Wait, let me do this.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I'm sure that fits in somewhere tonight.
I don't represent anybody.
So Shane, with the voodoo and things like that, you and I have talked a few times about the Loa and making a offering at your front door for Papa Lugba because he's the god of doorways.
We don't really can think of him as a god.
Okay.
Not a god, because they do have frailties and some human characteristics. There's only one. It's a monotheistic religion. There's only one god.
Okay.
I don't mean to call you down, but a lot of people say that, and it's more like a Catholic saint. It's very much like a Catholic saint.
Okay. And if he's like a Catholic saint, and but he is, and it was my mispronunciation. Sorry about that, two in a row. But he's the guardian of the doorways. Can you kind of explain what kind of doorways he's guarding?
He guards the spiritual and the physical doorway. Your doorway to your house, you'll call him this Loa, this spirit. It's also similar to Native American, where you have different deities in charge of different things, and he guards your doorway.
Yeah,
really doesn't want to let anything nasty and bad in your house. And on the spiritual side, he does guard the doorway there too, because in voodoo we believe in possession, where you take on the spirit and you become you allow your body to be used by the spirit, and the spirit talks. And but Papa Lugba is always saluted first, because he guards that, and he's going to make sure that nothing else comes through that door that it's not supposed to and shouldn't be there.
That's awesome. That's all. You know, the other day I bought a Dracula door knocker. So Dracula guards my door now, Shane. If you knock on it, he says, "Oh, I want to suck your blood." You know what I mean?
Dracu-knock.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, you can use anything like that. That's your gree-gree. That's See? Exactly what that is. If you empower it, or you ask your power to empower it and make it your guardian, that would be your gree-gree for your front door.
Gree-gree, man. See, I got all kinds of stuff like that. What's it like, Shane, living out there in New Orleans with all these ghosts?
With all the ghosts?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Oh, I know. It's funny. It's real
yeah.
funny to see people come and run into them, especially my house. There's quite a few in here, actually. And it really scares a lot of people to see a little old woman sitting on my couch, or hearing the fin, the little spirits running around upstairs, and that kind of thing. I love it. I love it. I'm right at home.
Right. It's like Jason Gowan's couch. He's got a lot of old men sitting there. They line up and take a number. So they.
But okay. Hey Shane, we've talked before about voodoo can be good, it can be bad, but it can be misused and it can be used wrong. Like somebody going in who doesn't know what they're doing. What are some of the dangers that are involved if somebody does that?
Yeah.
Oh, for someone who's not trained and you do manage to get the door open, and you can. There can be a jab, as we call them, a spirit impersonating another spirit, or a demon, maybe be another word. DJAB is a jab, we would call it. And you have to be trained to be able to recognize the signs of the particular person is possessed. We call them a horse. When a horse is being ridden, there are certain things that spirit is going to do or say. And if they don't, and you know that something is really, really wrong. For instance, if we were in a ceremony, and I'll pick on you, Jason, just for the hell of it, and say Jason started getting possessed by the spirit, I would stop it immediately,
yeah,
because of his inexperience of that. Not because I thought it would be dangerous to him, but because it could be dangerous in the end if we let it go, because of his inability to handle it and deal with another ego inside you, in a sense.
Hey,
I got enough ego for five people.
Yeah, that's true. But.
Yeah, he does. But hey, Shane, I was saying, is there a thing in voodoo where you can resurrect the dead?
Of course. That's all we've talked about tonight.
It's, yeah, I know, but like if, let's say a loved one passes away, I mean, do you guys, have you known people that go to the cemetery and resurrect these people?
No, you don't resurrect the bodies, but a year and a day after a person has died, you can petition the spirit to have that person's pea bun orange, their little spirit, their little soul, put into a Govi jar, and after that, that spirit would reside on your altar into this red clay jar, and you would consult it from then on until either you die or you decide to let it go back to the waters of the abyss before you die.
Now,
normally you would be there forever on that altar.
Now, could somebody who doesn't like you do that?
You mean bring your spirit back into a Govi jar?
Yeah.
They would have to know a hell of a lot about you.
Okay.
I mean, they would have to really know a lot about you. They would have to know some of your secret names, and they would have to know your lineage and your family, your spiritual lineage, your spiritual family. Technically, yes, but I've never heard of it be done.
Okay.
Never.
Now, with possession, you were saying before that you allow possession in voodoo. People take the spirits of their elders and the spirits of the Loa into them. Is there ever a time when those spirits don't want to leave, when it's all done, where they want to stick around?
No, all the time. Yeah, you have to make them, you have to tell them they got to go sometimes. Yeah, they stick around a lot. So when you're doing a traditional ceremony, it takes about 3 days to do it. The first day is all shopping and preparation. The second day is the same, and then you do all your prayers and your animals, and that takes 6 to 10 hours. And then the next day, you start your regular ceremony, and that goes, that can go. I've been to them along as about 20 hours.
So how do you keep up? A lot of coffee?
Nothing to sneeze at.
Hey, Shane, I actually got two questions from the chat room, brother. We got the first one from the professor. Actually, both these are from the professor. We love him. We know him. He's a great guy. The first question is Halloween important in voodoo? And the second question is they have a friend that's very ill and may pass on, and they want to know if they could have the spirit enter his body after they die.
No on the second one.
Okay.
On the first one, no on the first one, too, but October 31st is not that important, but November the 1st, the next day, is extremely important. That's Day of the Dead, when you honor all the children and everybody that, in your family, that your ancestors. You go to the cemetery here in New Orleans. It was a similar thing to it, where everybody goes and paints the tombs and the crypts, repaints them, whitewashes them again for the year.
See, that's what got me about New Orleans, Shane, is a lot of people here in America, in different parts, they either don't believe in ghosts or they believe a little bit, whatever. You go out to New Orleans, guys. You'll go to these restaurants.
Say that again, Sean. Say it again.
You'll go to these restaurants. They have candles burning and food left out for the dead. I mean, you guys live with these people, the spirits, every day.
Right.
It's just, it's amazing to me.
Yeah, well, the idea is that you're feeding all the Lua, all the spirits, not God, all the Lua were human at one time, except for not to get into too much theology or orthodoxy. So they have human characteristics, and plus we also honor all of our personal ancestors. In particular, I have an altar here, I'm not a very good carpenter, so every time I pick up a piece of wood, I always ask my grandpa to give me a hand with it, because he was a master carpenter. But the idea of giving them food and water, coffee, and the things they like when they're human, it gives the symbolically energy to the ether, to the existence that gives them energy to communicate, to not necessarily manifest, but well, I guess manifest is a good name too, but to do the things that you're asking them to do, and they help you out. And we always take our offerings later, depending on how long you're supposed to leave them out there. We take them out and always leave them by a tree in the woods, or especially
right
here in your yard or something like that.
That is awesome. Now, Shane, you know I take your religion very seriously, but I got to add this. Jason Gowan takes it very serious every time he puts his hand on a piece of wood, too.
Why is it rare? Wow, you long time to set up that joke, but well played, Sean. Well played.
Right, thank you. Checkmate, my friend.
I have an herbal remedy for that, you know.
Well, Shane, you know, if people want to get in contact with you or they want to have questions about voodoo, or they need help with something regarding voodoo, do you make yourself available to people?
I do occasionally, and for you guys, I certainly will.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, I consider y'all part of my family now. So if anybody wants to contact me, they can contact me at jshanenorris@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook, Shane Norris on Facebook.
Sounds good.
And then there's a website that I believe you listed on your show there.
I did. I found that one on your Facebook, actually, and that's why I listed one up there.
That's from a person I used to She supplies people in the voodoo and Santeria community, and she knows her stuff, and that's buried on her website. And feel free to patronize her website. Everything on that site is actually real. I don't normally do commercials, but
hey, Big Shane, how do you set up a voodoo altar, man? Because I know I got some stuff from New Orleans, some voodoo statues and stuff, and I just put a lot of religious candles around them. You know what I mean? And I like those candles every once in a while. Each candle stands for something different. I got Las Muertes, which is Holy Death, and some other stuff. And I like these candles.
You buy a fertility statue. Don't be lighting any candles, Sean.
I did. There's a picture of me and Gowan in bed with the fertility statue somewhere circling around.
I don't think we should have mentioned that on the show, Sean.
That's not a urine sample cup, Sean.
How do you do it, though, Shane?
You just did it. You've done it. You pick a spot. Preferably, you start with your ancestors. You put it somewhere that's not going to be in public view. You know, like in your living room, that kind of thing. Unless that's the only place you have, and if you do, you would cover it with a nice cloth of some sort. But a white candle and a glass of water, and just put photographs of your or icons of your ancestors, like, you know, the pocket knife your grandpa gave you, or you know what I mean by that. And then they just seem to build themselves after that. You know, always give your ancestors a fresh drink of water every day if you can remember it every day, or a cup of coffee, or light a candle for them and just let it burn in the evening while you're watching TV, something like that. And just tell them, you don't have to ask anything or say anything, just tell them, you know, hey, it's good to see you, I'm glad y'all are here, and keep backing me up.
Right. Now, my ancestors would prefer Jack Daniels, so can that be done, or...
Of course.
Okay. Well, now, hey, there's another question real quick. The professor says he wants to cast a spell on video as a scientific experiment, Shane. Something simple. He says, can it be done?
Yeah. Sometimes spells work really, really fast, and sometimes they work very, very slowly. But yes, you certainly can.
Can you give him a spell, like a little quick spell that he could do on the internet real quick and post it up?
And to get results immediately from it?
Well, you know, or I know you can't guarantee that, but something simple for him, you know?
Yeah, I love to. I'll give you a quick love spell. You take some cinnamon, some honey, and a yellow flower. You go to the nearest body of water, unless, of course, you live in Kansas or something. No offense to Kansas, but... you try
it
to get
sucks.
In your body of water. You take the cinnamon, you dip it in honey, taste it, throw it in, kiss the flower, throw it in, tell her what you want in this love spell, what you want to happen. Be exact and be very specific. Turn and walk away and don't look back.
There you go, guys. Hope you had your pens and paper ready.
That's
one of my favorite ones.
Wait till it comes out on iTunes, and you can play it over and over again until you get the spell just right. But, okay. Hey, before we have to go, can you tell us, you know, we walk past voodoo altars every now and then, go into voodoo shops, you go to different people who practice voodoo's homes, and you see the pennies and the candy and all this stuff lying all over it. Can you tell us what that's for?
That's all for Papa Legba and the children. Papa Legba is always either an old man or a very young child and a trickster, so he likes kids' toys and candy. Pennies are always for Papa Legba, and then you have the kids that the Fin, and you have for the little spirits. That's what the candy and pennies are all for. And you always put pennies in a bowl by your front door for Legba. He'll guard your door. Give him a little rum or a hot coffee every now and then. Hot sweet black coffee.
Now here's
leave it by your door.
Here's one last thing I wanted to ask you before we go. You go into somebody's house. The house for our ghost hunters out there. People are going in to investigate it because it's said to be haunted. They find out that the people who lived there before practiced voodoo. Is there a chance that spirits from having practiced voodoo in the house before are still lingering there?
Yes. It's technical that if they didn't do it properly, and I'm saying that very experienced Ugon or very experienced Mambo can do something a little improperly, yes, they can hang out, or perhaps they lived there so long that they were just used to them being there, and they leave them when they move. Yes, very much can happen.
Oh.
Ooh. Guess I gotta write that one down.
Yeah, write it down.
You gotta always shut those doors, man. You can't leave any doors open when you play with this stuff. And I take that word play as facetiously.
Hey, Shane, we gotta wrap up for the evening. Thank you for
terrible.
being on the show tonight. Can we? Can you hang out for a few minutes while we wrap up?
I certainly can. I had a good time, guys, and I appreciate y'all having me on. And like I said, you have an open invitation here.
So. Oh, thank you. Well, Sean, it is.
You too, Sean.
Thanks, brother. I can sleep outside with the dogs, right?
No, they sleep inside.
Oh,
you have to sleep out alone, Sean, with the alligators.
That's it.
It's time, Sean, for us to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
That's right, guys. Shane, thank you so much, brother. Voodoo is real, guys. It's not evil. It's not an evil thing. It's just another way of looking at things. So check it out. Thank you, Shane, so much. And guys, remember, the premiere of Extreme Paranormal on A&E, October 19th and October 26th, will be coming at you at prime time. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghosteddemon.com and log into our forums because, hey, we want to hear from you.
Sean, this went so quick. I barely smoked my Gloria Cabana, my La Gloria Cabana cigar that I got at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium today.
Butthead's.
So getting that out there. Remember to join us next week when we will have another great, fancy, and wonderful Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. And until then, what do you say, Sean?
All right, guys. Stay strong. Stay cool. Have a good work week. Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like work where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in and slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. I'm running my poor ass ragged, and I'm living from day to day. The boss man telling me what to do just makes me want to say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I can use a beer. I don't need. I don't need this, I wanna make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you wanna get the hell out of here.
Yeah.